This is not black and white. We are allowed to change our minds. So we may say yes to something, and then because life happens, because we are complex trauma survivors, we may have in unexpected internal shifts. It happens for me constantly. So what felt right for me Friday does not feel right for me today. And I'm going to honor what's alive in me today.
You're listening to Alchemical Voices, a podcast exploring the lives of BIPOC, transracial adoptees, and survivors of complex trauma. Hi, I'm Jaslyn, your host, a nurse, and trauma release practitioner, curiously observing the human experience. As a Black woman and survivor of human trafficking, I've encountered many, many hardships. On the road to recovery, I discovered that storytelling unites us at heart and is where we find healing, inspiration, and encouragement. In each episode, you will hear stories from courageous souls, and we will touch on subjects such as identity confusion, the impacts of racism, complex trauma, transracial adoption, and much more. How do we rise amid trials and tribulations? How do we invite softness into our lives? We touch on these and many other questions, so tune in to experience transformative storytelling and let's heal together.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Alchemical Voices podcast. I am joined by Heather Grassett from Totem. And I'm just going to jump right over to you, Heather. Welcome. What are we doing today?
Thank you for having me again for the third time. Not sick of us yet, which is a great sign. And I work for Totem. I am one of Totem's keepers, is what we call ourselves. So essentially, I lead group spaces. They're all digital. We go around our digital circle and pass our digital talking piece, and each person kind of gets the chance to answer a question from their own lived experience. They will never be interrupted. If anything ever feels too heavy, people are always welcome to kind of pass on that question. And so this is our third of four sessions that we're kind of sharing with your listeners so that they can use it either as a tool in their own life, or they're welcome to come over and join any of our spaces. They're all free. They're all open to anyone around the world. So today we're going to jump right in. We are going to be talking about boundaries today, which I'm sure this will come out after Thanksgiving, but for people in the States, it's a really good topic. And you can have it under your belt for Thanksgiving next year if you practice Thanksgiving. So we're going to start with a guided meditation. It's called Protecting Your Peace. Begin by taking a slow, deep breath in. And gently exhale. Feel your body begin to relax, releasing any tension. Close your eyes and bring your attention inward. Imagine a warm, glowing light surrounding you, forming a gentle barrier around your entire being. This light can be any color that feels safe and comforting for you. As you breathe in, feel this light growing stronger, creating a boundary that protects your peace and well-being. It keeps out anything that doesn't serve you while allowing in love, kindness, and respect. With each exhale, let go of any stress, fear, or discomfort, knowing you are safe within this protective space. This boundary is flexible and strong, designed by you and for you. It allows you to feel empowered, able to speak your truth and set limits that honor your needs. Take a moment to notice how safe and at ease you feel within this light. Feel free to be without any fear or pressure in this space. Now affirm to yourself, I am allowed to set boundaries that protect my peace and well-being. I honor my needs and value my inner calm. Take one more deep breath here. And as you exhale, feel a sense of strength and clarity within this space. When you're ready, gently open your eyes, carrying this feeling of empowerment with you. Our first question today is, what has been the hardest part of setting boundaries for you in your recovery journey? I think, you know, before we pressed record, we were briefly talking about Thanksgiving and how it's really hard for trauma survivors. A lot of the time we're stuck at tables with our abusers and, you know, kind of are left in this feeling of not being able to escape. And so I think for me, the hardest part of setting boundaries for me in my healing and recovery journey for a really long time was simply that. It was proximity. It was like the Thanksgiving meals and being kind of seated at a physical and metaphorical table with people that had caused me harm. And when my father was still alive, it was very challenging to create healthy boundaries when I was back home in California. He always wanted to see me, and I really felt cornered to have to see him and create space for him. And, you know, I've worked with abusers where, again, it's like I was stuck in situations where I'm forced to see people that have caused me physical harm. And when you're, you know, stuck in a situation where you're at a Thanksgiving table or at work, it's really hard to find any sort of escape. And so I think, yeah, for a really long time, the hardest part of setting boundaries was proximity. More than anything, it was, I don't really have much of a choice. And then, you know, as I got older and the choice became relevant, it was hard to make that choice for myself. I think because I had lived in that proximity scenario for so long, that choosing to set boundaries was really foreign and really uncomfortable in my body. And a part of the way my trauma kind of shows up is in that fawning response. And so feeling like I needed to people please, because it felt safer to make everyone calm everyone around me. So I didn't feel like I was going to be attacked. And so it's like, originally it was proximity, and then it was the trauma response of people pleasing and fawning. So yeah, I mean, it's changed shape over the years. I think proximity comes up probably a lot for people. And yeah, I think that those were kind of like have been the hardest parts for me, proximity and people pleasing, or fawning. And I will pass the totem to you. What has been the hardest part of setting boundaries for you in recovery, in your recovery journey?
So I definitely, I mean, I recognize everything you said. And I think all those things you said are very true to me too. What I've come to understand just recently is a big part of me not speaking up, not standing up for myself, is that I had very little, if any, self-respect. I had very low self-esteem. It was not things that I was aware of at all. But what I've discovered it is that there is a part of me that's like, I don't deserve to be treated with respect. I don't deserve to be treated as an equal. And I believe that much of that comes from my childhood conditioning, where I lived, I didn't grow up in a family where there was love and where I was welcome. I was their slave, and to some people, that must sound like an exaggeration, maybe even a lie. But I'm not lying. And last year, the Danish Centre Against Human Trafficking, they affirmed that it was human trafficking and that I did live under slave-like conditions. So yes, I was a slave. So my childhood programming taught me that I do not have a voice. It doesn't matter what I have to say, I have to obey. So this program that was so deep within me, well into my 30s, I think that is like the main reason why it was so challenging to set boundaries. And a part of me now saying, oh, sorry, can you repeat the question again? It's just so I'm not answering a question you may be asking later.
Well, you're totally fine.
Okay.
What has been the hardest part of setting boundaries for you in your recovery journey?
Yeah, okay, thank you so much. Well, yeah, then I already feel like I've answered it. I'm not going to say the last part I was about to say because I have a feeling that you're going to ask about it, so I'll wait.
Yeah, I think that's it's part of the organic chaos that is these spaces. It's like you sometimes your brain goes in a different direction than the question, and there's I love that you were affirmed in what had happened to you, and I hate that you had to be affirmed. Like that all that self-doubt that other people push on us and make us feel is it's so real. I've had to have people affirm me and some of my the sexual abuse I've been through, and it's still I still my brain still can like gaslights myself into saying it wasn't that bad. You're just dramatic. So many voices. But I'm glad you got that affirmation.
Yeah, and so am I. I mean, I know deep down in my heart what happened, and I know that I don't have to prove myself to anyone, but it has been very satisfying that once I got that verdict, black on white, I would like contact those people from my past that had gaslit me, that had accused me of being a liar and attention seeker. And I was like, do you remember that time you blamed me for XYZ? Here's the verdict.
Right.
Who the fuck were you to tell me that I was lying? I went off on those people, and I tell you, it felt good. I
Yeah.
was so satisfied with myself. So I'm very happy I got that black and white, because I would like shove it down people's throats and shame them. And that's how I began reclaiming my power.
I love
That's a little side story.
that. That's great. Our next question is, how do you recognize when a boundary is needed in a relationship, whether personal or professional? You know, this is something that I I feel has evolved, and I think will probably continue to evolve. But it really just feels like a gut feeling. It's like it feels like there is some physical boundary that I've set within myself, and I can feel it being pressed against. It's like it feels like a gut. There's no formula, you know, it's just a gut feeling saying there's a value being pressed against, or there's a need that I have that's being oppressed, something along those lines. And you know, I think really over the years it's expanded so much. I have so many more boundaries now than I had 10 years ago because of everything we just kind of discussed. It's like proximity and people pleasing and all these kind of factors that I just let myself be really trampled over for most of my life, like an actual doormat for people, to the point that it's like, it's not just me keeping quiet, it's me like asking, you know, how much more do you want from me? Like, here, let me just show up and be of service to you, my, you know, abuser, oppressor, whatever, you know, the situation was. And especially in work relationships for me for a long time, like I put myself out there to be trampled on. And, you know, now I'm able to be kind of, I guess the only way I can describe it is less a focal point in my own story almost. And I can take a step back and like look at things that are happening and say like, yeah, I don't want that for myself. I don't like that for myself. I need to set this boundary. And that feels really offensive to people that have been in my life for a long time that have never had those boundaries there. And I have family members that, you know, I've had to set pretty strict boundaries around and are no longer a part of kind of my, I had a therapist once describe it as a solar system. And there's like the people you keep really tight around your planet, and then there's people that are just kind of like distant stars. And so I've had some family members that now live much further outside of my solar system. And yeah, how do I recognize it? It's just a gut feeling. And then the beautiful thing is when I honor that gut feeling, it feels really awful. I'm like, okay, let me just take that boundary away. I'm so sorry. But then after the dust settles, my life has more peace. And so I know I made the right choice in setting the boundary. I don't live in this state of like regret and fear and, oh, this feels icky and I've made this person feel so bad. Like, I live in that for a minute. So it's like, I feel bad. I feel like somebody's pressing against something that doesn't honor my values and needs. I make the choice. And then on the other side, I have peace and freedom. And it's all just gut feelings, really. Yeah, I think that's all I have on that one. I will pass it over to you. How do you recognize when a boundary is needed in a relationship, whether personal or professional?
I feel it. It is a sensation in my body. I will not describe it as intuition, but more as a... it's just something energetically, like when we feel sadness or we feel anger or anxiety, we experience that in our body, right? And it's the same when I can feel that my boundaries have been overstepped. I get sensations in my body, and So I'm not really aware of if this is just because I'm human, or also because I'm human, or if it is because I'm a trauma survivor. But I have noticed that I have the physical response, and then I need some time to sit with what was that? What was that sensation? What's behind that sensation? Oh, it's anger. Okay, what exactly am I angry about in that conversation or that interaction? What I'm essentially trying to say is I need time to process and to decode what was that. And I don't know if it's because I'm a complex trauma survivor who never learned to, my emotions were not welcome, my needs were not welcome. So I'm learning now to feel what I need and to express what it is exactly that I feel. And maybe it doesn't matter. The point is, that's how I feel it. And once I've sat with that sensation a little bit and discovered the emotions behind it, process the emotions, then I can return back to that person and be like, okay, this is how I experienced. I just did it with my therapist, actually, where she overstepped my boundary. And I had to explain, like, this is what I felt. This is how I experienced our conversation. And this is how it sat with me, how it sits with me, and how it's landed. And I do the same in my personal relationships, friendships. One thing I really like to say is I'll think about it, so because that is giving me time to not phone, not people please, but be like, give myself space to really feel into, does this feel true to me? Even, and to honor that ick feeling of a boundary that may have been overstepped or an invitation to do something that I actually don't want to do, so I don't overstep my own boundaries, if that makes sense. And the last thing I would like to say, what has helped me tremendously, tremendously in setting boundaries and honoring them is becoming very, very clear on my values and standards, personal values, values for my friendships, values for collaborations, values for relationships, and sticking to them. So, and these are things that I've written down that I can go back to and like remind myself, this is what I want, this is what I do not want, and I got to stick to that. And I don't care if people think I'm too sensitive or blah, 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 that has nothing to do with me. That's them. See, there was an internal boundary right there. I just gotta stick to what's mine, Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, the internal boundaries is so, if you don't have an internal boundaries, you can't have the external ones.
Exactly.
And I love the idea of let me think about it. I think
Yeah.
that's it's so valuable because it adds compassion
Yeah.
for yourself and the other person.
Yes, exactly.
And I think that's really beautiful. Because
And
boundaries can feel really harsh for the other
they
person.
can.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel that when I say that, let me think about it, it gives me not only space to honor myself and the process that I'm in, it also gives me space. How am I going to say this no? As you just said, it's a very compassionate way. How can I put this boundary in a compassionate way? And it has nothing to do with being a people pleaser, but it has something to do with just being kind when I put up that boundary. And I usually lead by, thank you for considering me for this, but unfortunately, I do not have the capacity, or I just stick to I feel I need, this doesn't feel right for me. And by communicating in that way, there's not really much to debate. Do you get what I'm saying on the other part? They can't really attack me if I just stick to this is what I need and this is what I feel. And should the person like try to attack me, then I know what type of person I'm dealing with.
100%.
And then it's pretty easy for me to say, you can kick rocks because you just showed me who you are. You know, I was kind to you and then you went down that route. Goodbye. See, there's another boundary.
That's right. Absolutely right. Have you experienced any guilt or fear around setting boundaries? How have you worked through those feelings? So much guilt and fear. Oh, too much for, we could record so many podcast sessions just talking about the guilt and fear I've felt setting boundaries. And I have a lot of stories that come up for me specifically. But I think what's almost overshadowing those stories is sex, thinking about sex. Like, over the course of the years, anytime I've not wanted to have sex and like not setting those boundaries has come up a lot. Because when I set the boundary and say, no, I don't want to, I'm not in the mood, I'm not interested in you that way, that sort of thing, there's either the fear of they're going to take it anyways, because that's my experience of men, or the guilt kind of combined with the fear of like, well, this person's not going to like me anymore, they're not going to be interested in me, I'm going to make them feel bad. And so, and this is like, I would say, an epidemic of a problem amongst women, especially young women, of being in these situations of saying yes, because the alternative is either I hurt their ego, I lose my friend, or I'm raped. And we don't have a lot of women saying no and feeling safe to do it. And that was my experience in most of the sexual partnerships I was in, you know, whether they would have just taken it or not, that fear and really expectation of men was there. It's like, I've had this experience so many times. Why would this feel different? Why would this be different? And the fragile male ego, unfortunately, has made the world a very tumultuous place for all, but specifically for women or female presenting identifying people. And so that's kind of what feels like what I wanted to share when I was thinking about that question, although I have lots of experiences of guilt and fear around boundaries. And I think how I've worked through that is slowly saying no in situations that feel safe. Luckily, I have a partner that I've been with for going on 10 years next month. So a lot of safety has built around that relationship. And I still have said yes or had sex when I didn't. When there wasn't like that enthusiastic part of me, but there was still that like, I don't want to make him feel bad. And the kind of this like thought process of, well, you know, I have such a high sex desire. Like, how would it make me feel? Like this whole narrative that we kind of like spin. And, you know, more often than not, I do end up enjoying myself, but I don't think we should ever say yes if our gut isn't enthusiastically there from the get-go. But practicing no is the best way to work through that. The more we say no, the safer we'll feel saying no. But I've still unfortunately been in situations as evolved emotionally and spiritually as I feel now, where I've said yes when I didn't want to. And in situations that I was safe to say no. But, you know, as it is, sexual trauma is one of my biggest traumas. So it's going to take work and time to get there, but it's a work in progress. And I think another thing that feels, you know, like it helps me work through those feelings and it feels healing for me is to advocate for young women before they end up in situations that they have all of this trauma that they have to work through, to say no. Say no to your friend, say no to your boyfriend, say no to your boss. There's absolutely no reason to say yes unless you want to, for your pleasure, not for, I'm going to hurt his feelings, not for, it'll be good for our relationship, not for, I don't want to lose my job, I need this job for my kids. There's no reason to say yes unless you want to have sexual pleasure and be intimate with that person. So I'm going to get off of my soapbox now and pass it over to you. Have you experienced any guilt or fear around setting boundaries? How have you worked through those feelings?
I've definitely experienced a lot of fear. Obviously, I've experienced guilt, but definitely a lot of fear. And I think that the majority of that fear, or the biggest part of that fear, it stemmed from I was afraid of losing the connection, whether it being a partner, a friend, whatever. I was afraid that there would be some type of consequence if I honored my no, or if I expressed how I felt. And I think what shifted for me was when I began caring less about pleasing people, meeting their needs, and became more concerned about respecting myself and honoring my needs. So when I began to put myself first instead of others, that was when I really could begin to honor my no's. And that's really when I began setting healthy boundaries. For the longest time, especially with my family, I would lie. So, oh, I'm sick, I have to work. I used to use my job as a nurse as an excuse for why I couldn't celebrate Christmas with them, for why I couldn't come to family parties. It was always because, oh, I have to work, or I took a double shift. And I was full of shit. I was completely lying because I didn't want to experience the confrontation if I said no. And in my family, saying no is always such a problem around it. Can this person have your number? No. But they're family. I don't care. I don't know this person. Just because we're blood related does not give them the right to have access to me. And then the long, persuasive conversation starts, and I don't want that shit in my life. If I said no, I'm really going to need you to respect that. But this is just a thing they don't get in my family. And I think because at that time in my life, I didn't stand firm in what my needs were and knew I have a right to say no to this person having my number. I get to decide who has access to me, period. End of discussion. And if you have a problem with me saying no, that's on you, you know? Because I didn't have that as I do now, I would just find like ways to maneuver out, and that would be by lying or coming up with excuses. So essentially you can say So not only to not lose the relationships, but also a way to navigate the relationships because I didn't have the proper tools, because I had no self-worth, no self-respect, and also no idea. Because, and also I actually did say no. This is the problem. I have said no many times. I said no before I got raped. He raped me anyway. I've said no a million times to my family. And they went ahead and did the things anyway. And they don't see that they're toxic. This is also the really interesting thing. I'm the toxic nutter because I'm the one speaking up and calling them out on their bullshit. But they don't see how they're toxic and emotionally abusive by keep pressuring me to do things I've said no to, or even proceeding to do the things. If I said no, then they gave up my number anyway. I'm like, what are you doing? And they don't see that that's toxic and emotionally abusive. Sorry, I'm going on a rant. I'm just sharing all of that to say that the fear was deep and it was real, you know, but I don't feel it as much anymore. And I think a big part of that is really knowing on an embodied level, I have a right to honor my needs and my no. And if anyone has an issue with that, that is just not on me, you know? Yeah. I know that was a little bit long-winded. But...
I'm the one who got all the espresso. I'm kidding. I know, I really love, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say specifically, or at least I wasn't paying attention, honoring the no. And I really love that. It gives so much clarity. It's like, if you don't honor my no, then you don't have access to me anymore.
Yes.
Plain and
yes.
Keeps it very clean.
Yes.
And I love that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Which honestly kind of already answers the next question, but we'll do it anyways. What are some specific ways you can communicate your boundaries more clearly to others? Which now I'm going to say, you need to honor my no, but I really do. I think it's being clear. I think being, you know, what are some specific ways you can communicate your boundaries more clearly to others? Be clear. Name the feeling, name the expectation. I think that's as good as you can be. You know, here's what I'm expecting of you. Here is why I'm feeling this way. I had a situation, which was a whole situation, so I won't get into it. But I really needed somebody to not be in my life anymore. Mm-hmm. I felt that the conversations weren't safe for me. I felt that I was being violated in our conversations. And ultimately, I didn't feel like I could trust the person as far as I could throw them, and I could not throw them very far. So I just, you know, I named that I need, you know, space from you in this situation. I cannot have you in my life right now. I'm feeling X, Y, and Z. And they've honored that. They haven't reached out since. That was a pretty clean situation, a pretty clean break. I've had situations that weren't clean, that my no was not honored. And that's the thing, that's when you get the choice, the liberating choice to say, does this person still have access to me after they chose to not honor that no? And, you know, I think at this point in my life, now the answer would pretty much be, no, they don't get access to me anymore. 10 years ago, me would have continued to let those people have access to me, which in turn just says, like, what do my boundaries even mean then? you know, and that's could be an overgeneralization. There are situations that you have to have certain people in your life, for whatever the reason might be. And, or it's just somebody that you, it's your mom or your dad or somebody that you just don't feel like you're ready to let go of. My dad, he was an alcoholic the whole time I knew him from childbirth. And it got really bad towards the end. And he was addicted to pills towards the end of his life. And I had a lot of boundaries put into place to keep myself safe. And I actually felt really proud of the relationship that I had with him. I had really cultivated it in a way that I was safe and my needs were met. But I felt like I was doing some sort of service to him by showing up and listening to him, and still being there for him, despite the fact that he was an abuser in my life, for a good bit of my life. And I'm totally off on a rant, but he died and I didn't have any of those feelings lingering, like, well, what if I had done this, or what if I had done more? He died and I wasn't in his life. Like, it felt good. If felt like he died and I was at peace with it, truly. But I don't think I could have been at peace with it if I didn't have all of those boundaries in place that I had very clearly communicated to him. You know, he would go off on rants, attacking my mother's name and things like that during conversations. And I would just say, if you want to have a conversation with me, this is not where it's going. Or I would redirect the conversation. And I communicated myself and my needs very clearly to him. And the results were really beautiful for me. I haven't had a moment since he died where I felt like I was too tough or too laxed or could have changed the outcome or anything like that. And I think a lot of people have a hard time making peace with people like that dying in their lives. And, or at least I know from experience that other people have, or, you know, my half brother had that experience with my father. So, whole tangent. Now the shots of espresso are talking. Anyways, I'll pass it over to you. What are some specific ways you can communicate your boundaries more clearly to others?
Yeah, so let's start with no. As a full sentence, just no. Just to keep it simple. I would also say, as I said before, I'm going to take some time to think about it. And then I'm going to use that time to think about how can I set this boundary. I also feel like, I mean, saying I'll think about it and maybe, I mean, that's the same, still a boundary. So it gives you some time. And then, you know, just, you know, put in a need. So I need us not to talk on this matter because it makes me feel XYZ. I really like to keep it short and simple, and I actually like to I like to couple up my boundary with a need, not because I know I don't need to explain anything, but because it makes me feel safer. And should that person attack me and not respect my boundary after I've expressed a need, then I know you do not have enough respect for me. I just told you what my need is, and now you're having a bloody tantrum. You just told me that you just showed me that you're not a safe person for me. You're not emotionally safe. And I'm going to have to now consider the proximity you have to me. This is not something that I would tell them, but this is something that I would sit with because of their reaction. So short and simple. Yeah.
I love it. Short, sweet, and to the point.
Yes.
The last question, which we have touched on a little bit. How do you balance being empathetic and caring for others while maintaining your boundaries? I think, you know, when we think about balance, I think we think about like one of those two-way scales, right? You put something and the other side, you need to, you know, balance it out with something of equal weight. However, in the regards of boundaries, I think it needs to be more something like 80-20 or 90-10. 90% of this is for me, 80% of this is for me, you get 20 or 10%. Otherwise, we'll never feel balanced. And so that's a little counterintuitive to what we know about balance. But if we are putting out 50% to people that, yeah, might not be honoring us or nurturing our needs and our values, then it's not going to feel, we're always going to feel taken advantage of. So, and it's not to say that means, oh, I'm void of empathy or I don't put others before myself at times. I do, but like, who are those people? What are those situations? How have they shown up for me before? What do they bring to my life? And there's the Good Samaritan stuff, of course, you know, something you give to somebody on the street, you don't know, they're never going to do anything for you in your life, except maybe in that moment of like, you know, this gratitude I'm feeling for getting to share something with this person. But they're probably not going to cross my boundaries, right? Like they're not actively potentially doing something harmful for me, which the more access we give people to our lives, the more they could potentially hurt us. So, you know, I'm thinking of this like really kind of trivial situation yesterday with a really, she's my best friend in North Carolina. We were planning to hang out last night with both of our kiddos, which we do almost every Monday and Tuesday and sometimes Wednesdays. She's like more family than not. And I was feeling really drained and pregnant. I'd been gone to South Carolina this weekend. My body was just kind of like deflated, but I was really needing community. So I'm like, I need to spend time with my friend. And we had initially talked about going for a walk or doing something fun. My body just could not do that. And so I reached out to her and kind of set a boundary. Like, I want to share community and space with you. However, this is how I'm feeling. And I really need, what I really need tonight is kind of like a low-key situation. So like rom-com and pizza, like something where we're not going out. We're not like going for a 3-mile walk. I don't have to chase my kid around, but like I get to share space with you. But it's a boundary, right? It's saying, here's the context in which I have the capacity to see you and want to see you. And that's not something I could have done for myself even 5 years ago. It's like, I committed to this thing and we talked about going for a walk. So that's like what we have to do, right? But instead, now I can show up for myself. 90% of the way was for me. I'm like, I'm actually not taking her needs into consideration. She might really need fresh air and exercise. But hey, her job is to show up 90% for herself. And so if her need was actually to get exercise or go do something fun, she absolutely could have said, hey, this is actually my need. So maybe tonight's not the best night to hang out. We'll do it another night this week. And that would be two healthy adult individuals having a friendship, honoring their needs and each other's. Because that would be honoring my need. It's saying like, I'm not going to force you to go do this big giant activity with me. Anyways, all that to say, she had an awful headache, and that was like actually her need too, was to stay in. She said, "Thank you for expressing your needs to me. I've had a migraine all day, and something low key actually sounds really great." And this sounds so small and trivial, but I would dare say, not even just for trauma survivors, but to most people, it's really huge to shift plans and to say, here's my need. And just like one other quick example, which was a much bigger deal, I had kind of offered to help somebody with, I'm a longtime pastry chef. I went to culinary school. I had a friend that needed help catering her birthday. And there's definitely some kind of communication breakdown in like how she perceived things like this to go. And she wanted to spend a lot less money than was realistic. And I was really feeling kind of like overstretched. I had a lot on my plate. I was in my first trimester pregnancy, and I had already promised her that I was going to do it, and old me would have just done it and been miserable and then been resentful afterwards. And I reached out to her and I said, "You know what? I actually don't have the capacity to do this anymore. I'm so sorry. I'm totally happy to help you find another caterer. But, you know, with being in the first trimester of my pregnancy and already feeling stretched, this just doesn't feel like I can do this for you. I have the capacity to do this for you." And at surface level, that might seem like I'm disappointing somebody. However, not claiming my needs and capacity now will strain the relationship later. So we might think, oh, boundaries, that's like pushing somebody away, but it's really not. It's saying, here's my capacity, here's where I can show up. And it's literally creating harmony for the future in relationships that matter. So like the more the relationship matters, actually, the more you need to set those like little micro boundaries. Hey, I don't feel good today. Hey, I don't actually have the capacity to do this thing. How can I support in a different way? And yeah, I mean, they really make for beautiful, bountiful relationships that don't end up ending in resentment with healthy, adjusted adults. And if you are carrying people in your life that haven't been to therapy, that haven't worked through their own shit, if they're people that are codependent, they're not going to respond well to those boundaries. So you know you have the good ones in your life when you say, "I don't have capacity for this," and they say, "Thank you for telling me." And that's all I'm going to say on that, because I feel like I talked too long. But how do you balance being empathetic and caring for others while maintaining your boundaries?
I mean, so as I said before, saying maybe or I'll think about it, that gives me space to honor myself and how to communicate this boundary in a respectful way, you know? And another thing I would like to say, this is not black and white. We are allowed to change our minds. So we may say yes to something, and then because life happens, because we are complex trauma survivors, we may have unexpected internal shifts. It happens for me constantly. So what felt right for me Friday does not feel right for me today. And I'm going to honor what's alive in me today. And that is compassion too. Because if I say yes when it feels like a no, I'm showing up from a place of having little to no capacity. That means my cup is full. And I believe that you cannot pour from an empty cup. And I know that I'm a much better version of myself on all levels when my cup isn't full, you know? So by honoring how I feel and communicating honestly, you know what? I've changed my mind because or this is alive in me right now and I need to honor that. That is also being compassionate towards the other person instead of showing up, being resentful, feeling like shit, and maybe only giving it 30% instead of 60 or 70 because I'm not honoring myself. So I really want to emphasize that it is not black and white. Just because you said yes doesn't mean you can't change your mind. I mean, that's no. And that would also not be a healthy relationship if it's, you know, like black and white. No, there's nuances. We can compromise. We can, you know. So, yeah, I think that's what I wanted to say.
Yes, 100%. And to circle back to question two on one of those questions, consent can always be rescinded.
Mm-hmm.
Every situation of your life.
Yeah.
Yes can turn into a no as fast as you need it to.
Yeah.
And that, I think, especially for trauma survivors, is hard. However, it's probably one of the most liberating things you can do.
Yeah.
Even more than saying no to the get-go, to say yes and then change your minds later and honor that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, the people that should be in your life and will lift you up will honor that.
Yeah.
And praise you for it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we are closing with a quote by Brené Brown, who's one of my favorites. Daring to set boundaries is about having the courage to love ourselves, even when we risk disappointing others.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
This was good.
It was. I loved it.
Boundaries is fun to talk about. Yep.
It is, because it's such a big thing for complex trauma survivors, especially those of us who have experienced child sexual abuse. I mean, sexual abuse in general, but child sexual abuse is just different, you know, because it messes with you on such a profound level. I even had a psychologist, a trauma specialist, say to me that child sexual abuse is the most profound boundary violation you can ever experience as a human being.
And it's your most formative time.
Yeah, I'm not claiming that that is the truth. So don't come for me if anyone that's listening. I'm just repeating what she said, but it does make sense to me. Because it messes with you on so many levels. And I used to be extremely agreeable and was not even aware that I had boundaries. I didn't know what a boundary was. I didn't know how to set them. I didn't know why they mattered. I just didn't, there were just many things I didn't know. And what I've discovered is it's really about honoring yourself so you can be a better version of yourself for yourself and your community. So I feel like many have this misunderstanding that when we put up boundaries, oh, we're being so mean to others. But no, boundaries is not something we do to punish others. That's not what it's about. You know, we've completely misunderstood that. That's how I feel, at least.
And I think a better way for those people to potentially look at it too, it's not about what you're keeping out, it's about what you're letting in.
Yeah.
And I think there's a certain probably group of people that are on the other side of those boundaries feeling attacked or feeling like it's about cutting Uncle Bob out of your life or whatever the thing is. And it's like boundaries are all day, every day. It's like, you know, you're checking out at Walmart and something's supposed to be on sale, and when it rings up, it's at full price. Setting a boundary for yourself is saying, oh, hey, this was actually supposed to be on sale. Like, you don't have to blow up at anybody, but you can just say, hey, this is what it was supposed to be. Like, it's saying, I'm setting this boundary in this moment for myself. And it can be as small as that, or as huge as, you know, somebody in your family that's, you know, on a very far side of an issue than you, say abortion rights, and you're like, this is what is safe for me and my body, and what you're saying about this issue is not, it's not safe to me. And so I'm going to choose that if you bring this up in conversation, we're not going to continue a relationship, you know, like, it can be big, it can be small. It's just saying, this is what I'm accepting into my life.
Exactly. Because we have to remember that whatever we accept into our lives, there's a price.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that there are consequences. So to say, you have a person in your life that is sucking the life force out of you, I mean, you can't do that. And that is one of the reasons, one of the main reasons why I do not speak with my family. Right. Because it's detrimental. And I know that some family members, they are very offended of me saying this. This is how I feel, but it's honest to God, the truth. You know?
Yeah. I'm sure I have some family members that if they listen to this, they would not feel warm fuzzies about me. But, you know, naming the truth is hard for people.
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about somebody that they hold in a certain light. They can be very challenging to accept, and I understand that. Like, we want, it's like that don't meet your heroes thing. Like, we want to keep our heroes in a certain light. Mm-hmm. And when people name the truth about them, that can be very challenging to accept. You might not want to accept it. They might never accept it. It could put a strain on the relationship, but that doesn't mean that you and me don't need to speak the truth.
Exactly.
And share with other people that might and will really benefit from hearing that truth and not alone.
Yeah. And, you know, boundaries in families for complex trauma survivors is a really big thing. It's a really big one. So I know that this conversation you and I are having right now is going to support someone. I know it's an important conversation to be had. And that's why I'm sharing honestly that I know that saying these things will bother family members, because one of them like scolded me because she read something on my social media and she was like, you are making the family look like bad people. And I'm like, in my mind, what are you talking about? I am just sharing my honest experience as a survivor of different kinds of abuse. And I am over that everyone is pointing the bloody finger at me and no one is taking responsibility for their actions. I'm not going to stop talking just because this makes you feel uncomfortable. So.
And that's the sort of thing, like, you know, it's your truth and nobody can take away your truth. And if you've lived the sort of life that you need to silence somebody else's truth, I think you need to be reflecting on yourself. Not
exactly. Exactly.
Like, you need to take a long look in the mirror and say, like, I've lived the sort of life that I'm asking somebody to not share their truth.
What exactly. Exactly. And the fact that this person ordered me, not even like had a humble conversation, no, ordered me to go make peace with my parents, that in itself is a boundary overstep. How dare you command me Who the hell do you think you are? I'm 30 something. No one gets to tell me what I need to do for the sake of my mental health or anything else. I mean, that is just wild. It's so wild to me what people think that they can do. I mean, the audacity. It's wild. But I also think that there is, well, definitely in my family. Okay, this is just a complete side story. But I think, no, it's just coming, it's really like coming up for me now. I think there's a cultural thing, because it seems like in my family, oh, you have to listen to your auntie, you have to listen to the elders because they are wiser, they are more knowledgeable, they've lived longer, they know better. So you just got to take orders from them and do what they say. And I don't have that belief at all. Like, I'm going to do what's true to me, what's good for my mental health. And none of that what's coming out of your mouth is beneficial for my mental health. And I do not give a flying fuck if you are my auntie, I don't care. You know? So there's also like a cultural thing there. And I still don't care. So I think many experience that too, that you must listen to the elders. No, you must not. You must honor your inner voice. That's the last thing I want to say.
Well, absolutely. I was listening to a different podcast the other day, and it was an old episode, but they were saying, you know, the same sort of thing, like this idea of trusting your elders at face value it's the reason why children get molested. Telling kids to just trust people that are older than you, regardless of who they are, couldn't be more wrong to do to society. Pedophiles get old. Murderers get old. Like, also, age has zero to do with life experience.
Oh.
It can.
Mm-hmm.
But I know 18-year-olds that have lived more life than 80-year-olds. It's just like,
yeah.
Oh, spare me. Like, I want to know about how many different places you've lived and how many different, like, you know, who in your friend group has different ethnicities than you and different political views than you.
Yeah.
What have you been through? What have you survived? Like, that's how you gauge how much wisdom somebody has.
Yeah.
Not they've been around for 80 years. Fuck off.
No, exactly. High five on that. I absolutely agree with you. And I even had a conversation with a family member many, many years ago. She's going to be 80 next year. And it was right after the hostage taking. She had been extremely insensitive. And I just blurted, how on earth have you almost lived 100 years and you're so bloody ignorant? I'm so confused by you. And then some years after, it came to me, okay, so age and maturity, age and wisdom does not necessarily go hand in hand. Maybe in fact it is life experience, what you have had to overcome, conquer, and rise above. And that's why it's so important to whoever is listening, please honor your no first and foremost. Please do not buy into the narrative that someone knows better than you. There is so much wisdom in our body. There is just so much wisdom. And if we listen, I think that's what's going to help us find peace within. It's because we're so out of touch with ourselves. I think that's why so many people suffer. Okay, sorry, I went on a little rant there again, but yeah.
No, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I think it's just a matter of honoring that body intuition, which is one of the first things, or, you know, I think you used a different word for it. I think I might have said intuition, but that kind of gut feeling, that feeling within your body, if somebody's pressing against that feeling constantly in your life, regardless of their status, of their age, of their skin color, of their affiliation to you or your family, they don't deserve access to you.
Mm-mm.
They just don't. And what you want to do with that information is up to you. But the people that continue to show up for you and continue to honor your needs and continue to celebrate your boundaries and your victories over those boundaries, those are the people you want close to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
That was it for today. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please remember to rate Alchemical Voices and follow the community on Instagram. Until next time.